Amen. Lord, we just thank you for giving some of us great and wonderful wisdom. And we praise you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for giving us all good wisdom and discernment in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for tonight. We praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in each and every one of us, Lord. You're building our faith up to the point to where we believe everything we pray for is coming to pass, has already come to pass. And Father, I thank you for that. I praise you and glorify you that you're going to lead us tonight into the things that you have us to talk about. And I praise you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that's going to come out of it, the revelations that are going to come out of it. Lord, I ask that your gifts be in operation. I ask, Father, that you just fill us all with your Holy Spirit now, in Jesus' name, and let your glory anointing come upon us, Lord. And I thank you for that, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for your love that you've placed in our hearts for each other. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you for these times that we're coming into that will bring about this great, wonderful revival that'll bring a lot of folks in. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I praise you, Father, that each and every one of us understands what it is and who it is that lives inside of us. Not only that, Lord, the power that is evident in this temple of the Holy Spirit. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Let your spirit guide us this day. And Lord, I thank you for the great, wonderful joy, peace, and love you've placed in our hearts. And I thank you for putting that great, wonderful faith upon us too, Lord. And it's such a privilege to read and study your word to find out what faith is all about. It's such a wonderful thing, Lord. Glory to God. Every time I get into the word, studying about that, it's just amazing how you bring different aspects of it to light. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for everybody's going to show up tonight too. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Did I get the thing started? Yeah, I did. Got the mind of Christ, glory to God. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? I do. Well, go ahead, Missy. I'll go after you.
Well, Thursday morning, Merle's having hernia surgery. So I just thank you, Lord, that he's going to come through it with flying colors and quick recovery. In Jesus' name, and just thank you and praise you, Lord, for all the work you're doing in his heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
What kind of surgery did you say it was?
Hernia.
Hernia, okay. What?
Hernia.
That's what I said, aren't you? Oh. Well, I was going to pray about it, but I lost my train of thought. Nope, I caught it. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I come against this, any kind of mistakes that the physicians may do. It's not going to happen. They're going to be right in line with what has to be done. Everything is going to be done according to your will, Lord. And I thank you for guiding the physician's hand to do whatever they have to do. And I thank you, Lord, that they're going to give him the right medication, not give him anything that's going to hurt him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Merle. That he has a great, wonderful, quick recovery in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. I believe it. Okay.
Amen.
Anyone else got a prayer request? Okay, I'm going to pray about John again. I haven't been able to get a hold of him the last 2 or 3 days. The Lord had me call him, wanted me to call him and just reiterate to him that he needs the Lord. And so I've tried to get a hold of him. In the name of Jesus, devil, I break your power over him, trying to, if that's what it is, that you're trying to keep him from talking to me, in Jesus' name, I command you to cease your activity against him. And the next time I call over there to him, that he'll answer that phone and he will be receptive to the kingdom's well, the being saved and brought into the kingdom. And I praise you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you've already prepared his heart. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to heal him too. After he gets this, after he gets it, Lord, you're just going to completely heal him in Jesus' name, that he would be receptive to all of that in the name of Jesus. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, I thank you for saving John Schaffner. John Lofton Schaffner the Jr. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God. Yes, amen. There is no delay in devil, get your hand off my internet right now in Jesus' name. I command it by the blood of Jesus. You get your hands off of it. I have good internet access. And thank you, Father, for doing that. Glory be to God. All right, next. Oh, I want to pray for my daughter Michelle. She's coming out Thursday. Lord, I just pray for Michelle. I thank you, Lord, that she's going to have a good trip and she's not going to have any problems whatsoever. And I thank you, Lord, that when she gets here, she's going to be blessed mightily by the presence of the Lord that she's going to feel. And I thank you for my daughter, Lord. You have changed her so greatly just in the last couple of months. And I thank you, Father, for doing that. In Jesus' name, you've placed a lot of love in her heart and a want to for you, Lord. And I thank you for doing that for her in Jesus' name. You've answered my prayer. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to God. All right, anybody else? Well, hey, Barbara and Cheryl, Joe,
Yep.
Benjamin. What's the matter, Missy? You sound like you're having problems. Are you choking?
And
Oh,
Pat.
I'm sorry.
So, and Pat. I didn't realize I was still unmuted.
Well,
Sorry.
everybody here did.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Pat. Glory be to God. All right. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else want to pray? Okay. I want to pray. I want to pray, and I want y'all to believe with me. We're going to pray for President Trump. They're speaking all kinds of curses against him. In the name of Jesus, we cast down every curse that the Democrats and the Satanists have spoken against President Trump, and we cast them down as null and void. We thank you for your shield of protection around him at all times, 24/7, Lord. And we thank you for doing the same thing for his family and his lookalikes and also for his administration. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that you have a divine protection over his cabinet as well. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And Lord, we thank you for bringing down this enemy that's trying to bring him down. And I thank you for it, Father. They know that their time is short. They're trying to do everything they can to get rid of him. And Lord, we just know that you're going to shield him, protect him. He's going to fulfill the days of Cyrus and the position that he's in right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it as he's going to fulfill every day of it in Jesus' name. And after that, he's going to come to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Anybody else? Go ahead, Julie.
Praise God. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And we rebuke these lying, slanderous spirits and all the mainstream media and their propaganda and all the deep state and all their all of their works of darkness coming against this administration. They're coming against that which is right and just and true, Lord. They're coming against the word of God in a lot of ways, Father, because you are God of justice and righteousness, and your throne is established thereon, Father. And you see everything, Lord. You're the Lord of all flesh. And
Yes,
you
the
sit
king.
up in heaven and you laugh at what these foolish people are doing and their plans. And we just command failure to all of these plans that the deep state's trying to do and their last ditch efforts of their in their desperation to cause all these problems. And we command failure to it, Lord. We rebuke and cast down all spirits of lawlessness and anarchy and rebellion and destruction and violence and rioting and just all the things that we may be seeing in the news or hearing about, Lord. We thank you that you're sovereign all of all these things, and you've given us authority of these things. And we bind up the powers and principalities over these countries and this nation and the different governmental regions, Lord. All the powers and principalities, we bind them in the name of Jesus and their evil works of darkness and their plans to oppress your people. The innocent lives, Lord, of people who just they're clueless about really what's going on in a lot of ways. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing light into that darkness, God, and giving us the victory already through Christ Jesus. And we celebrate that. We celebrate, Lord, you always lead us in triumph with the mighty right arm of the Lord. We shall do valiantly. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we will cut them off, all of them. I was in Psalm 118 today. In the name of the Lord, we'll cut them off. All of their plans, all of their schemes, all of their evil, nefarious activities, and just command it all null and void. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And we loose the angels to do that in Jesus' mighty name to bring them down. Continue, Lord, drain the swamp. Remove all these evil politicians and government officials and rulers of these nations, Lord, who are not complying with these peace treaty agreements and what they want to do with the Nisara Desara and whatever is hindering the delay of this, Lord, we cast that all down, Lord, and we command that the angels do that work, Lord, so it all goes forward in your time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Patrick.
I just wanted to read Psalm 2:1. Why do the nations rage and the peoples meditate a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bonds asunder and cast their cords away from us." He that sits in the heavens will laugh, and the Lord will have them in derision. Father, I just thank you. We command that the very same thing that those deep state spirits speak against this administration and against this. Against your anointed, we speak against them, and let us break their cords and their bands of manipulation on all these people in the government, in the media, in the business community around the world, and even in the just the wealth. Creators or generators around the planet. We bind their cords of manipulation and we cut them asunder. We break them. We command that these people that have been influenced in all of these areas of our society will start to wake up. Their eyes will start to see the manipulation that they've been under, the deception that they've been under. And that, Lord, we just thank you for opening up their eyes and breaking forth in this earth today. We stand against these manipulators, these spirits. You've told us that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but it's in principalities against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We bind those. You've given us authority, Lord. We stand in that authority, and we command these things to be broken and to be severed, and to release these people, open up their eyes, allow them to see. And Lord, we ask that you'd spread a spirit of repentance among them, Lord, and that you, those that will not repent, those that refuse but continue to angrily persecute and destroy and attack your anointed, that they would be moved out of the way. And we thank you for it, Lord. We just praise you. We thank you that that we serve the one and only great God, and we praise you, Lord Jesus, that your name is to be praised. Every knee will bow to you. Every knee will bow and confess that Jesus is Lord of the whole thing. And we thank you for it, Lord. We just praise you. We bless you. And we thank you for the victory. We thank you that we are on the right side, though the screamers and deniers will continue to wax worse. Lord, we stand with you, with your word, and we praise you. We ask you to just generate, just create a strength around President Trump, and protect him, protect his administration, protect the direction that we are going in this country and in this world, Lord, and bring back right. Bring back lawfulness and adherence and respect for the law in this land. Bring stability and peace in the midst of our cities that are being overrun by lawlessness and revolt and just evil spreading through. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought us into this time and into this place to start to take these things down, to attack them, to bring them to a halt, and to say, no, we will not have this any longer. And so we thank you, Lord. You said, whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in the heavens. And we just thank you for it, that these spirits are bound in the heavens. Their bonds, their cords are broken, their manipulation is severed, and that they have no ability to re-influence and corrupt manipulate these minds. And we thank you for it. We just praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I got a little testimony. If y'all want to hear it. This today, I started out, it was rough for me. Good gracious, it was so rough. And everything that I touched, it seemed like was going to, just nothing happened. And I finally just got fed up with it. And I just started praying. Coming against the enemy, coming against me. And I mean, things like my mouse would quit, the internet would mess up, and this would happen, and that would happen. Tires on my truck were low. I wouldn't do certain things, just stuff. And I said, Devil, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you're trying to do this to me in the name that's above every name. I command you, get your hands off my stuff right now. And every so I came back in, and I came up here, and I found another mouse that I thought was broken, but it was working perfect. Because this, I replaced this one with that one up there. And so I got the batteries out of that one there and put some new batteries in it to see if that was it. And it started working. And oh, just everything started falling into place. You ever have one of them days when everything just started falling into place after a mess up? After you, actually, I just wanted to sit up us. You know what I'm saying? I know y'all ain't never done that, but it just got to me where I was just having a tough day. No, I know y'all wouldn't do that. Y'all kind of holy. Anyway, okay. Yeah, I see that halo, Missy. It's drooping all around your head. It's dripping all over you. Okay. But anyway, it just smoothed out and things went just perfect after that. It went absolutely perfect after that. Went out walking and had a great time. Just the rest of the day was wonderful, wonderful. So thank you, Father. Glory be to God, for your word is true. And when we hold on to that word, the devil's got to go. He's got to go. There's no way around it. Thank you, Father. And so, if I might, I'd like to share just a little portion of what I'm going to share tomorrow because I think you'll be blessed by it. Y'all mind? You hear it tomorrow, you'll understand why you'll love it. Okay. This is I'm going to talk about getting healed, being healed. When Jesus ministered healing, he did it by the power of the Spirit. Luke chapter 5 and verse 17 says, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. You know what that power was? It was the Holy Spirit at work. Peter said in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus was anointed by the Spirit to heal. And that same Spirit, that very same Spirit, now lives in us. The Spirit did not diminish when Jesus ascended. He didn't lose power over time because he's the same Holy Ghost with the same healing anointing, ready to quicken every believer who will believe and respond. And the early church understood that. Paul laid hands on the sick and saw him recover, not because of his own strength, but because the Spirit within him flowed like a river. And that same Paul shook off a viper from his hand and didn't feel anything. How come? Because the quickening power of the Holy Spirit coursed throughout his veins and his body. And when that deadly poison tried to grip him, the Spirit of life overwhelmed it and neutralized it. That same power is available in us. The healing you need is not outside, folks, it's within. And the enemy tries to distract you with symptoms, but the Spirit responds to your faith, not your feelings. We'll say that again. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, responds to your faith and not your feelings. The Holy Spirit is not dormant, he's active. But what he does, he waits on your permission, he waits on your agreement and your faith. He's not going to force himself. He waits for you to acknowledge him, to yield to him, to let him rise up in you like a flood. You know how you stir him up? With your praises. You stir him up praying in the Spirit. You stir him up by declaring the Word of God. And you stir him up by thanking him in advance for the healing. And as you do, his quickening begins. And it might start as a whisper in your spirit, but it becomes a roar in your body. Because the more you yield, the stronger the Spirit flows. And the more you speak life, the more he performs it. Healing's not hard for the Holy Spirit. He's the one who raised the dead. He's the one who formed creation. He's the one who hovered over the waters and brought light into darkness. There ain't nothing in your body too broken for him to fix it. And when you meditate on the reality of his presence in you, you begin to see yourself differently. You need to stop seeing yourself as weak, broken, sick, and start seeing yourself as a temple filled with that resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. And you begin to walk like somebody who is infused with divine energy. And you'll begin to talk like someone who is carrying glory. Now you begin to expect life and vitality, even in the face of pain or diagnosis. And that expectation is not based on wishful thinking either. It's rooted in the indwelling spirit. You say, the Spirit of God is in me and He is quickening me right now. Speak it out. My bones are being strengthened. My blood is being purified. My organs are being restored. My youth is being renewed like the eagles. And you say it not because you feel it, but because the Word of God says it. And the Holy Spirit always, always honors the Word of God. And the more conscious you are of the Spirit within you, the less power that the symptoms have over you. And the more you focus on His indwelling presence, the less you are moved by reports or feelings. And you begin to walk in a higher realm where you're not trying to get healed. You are releasing healing from the inside out. And you begin to live from the wellspring of life within you, because that's how the Spirit works. Not as a visitor from heaven, but as a resonant power source inside of you. And the more you acknowledge Him, the more He quickens every part of you. Faith don't operate in the realm of delay. Faith functions in the realm of the now, the right now. And the moment you truly believe is the moment you receive. And that's the principle that Jesus himself laid down when he said in Mark 11, 24. Every one of you knows it. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them, past tense, and you shall have them. He didn't say, believe that you will receive. He said, believe that you have received, past tense, not future, not maybe, not someday. So when you pray, when you ask, when you declare, at that exact moment you believe, you receive. That's when the transfer happens in the spirit. And once it is received in the spirit, it must manifest in the natural. But it can't manifest until it's first believed. God doesn't respond to need. He responds to faith. There's a lot of countless, a whole bunch of folks out there in desperate situations right now crying out in need. But it is faith that moves God's hands. Not emotion, not fear, not desperation. It's faith that activates the power of God. Faith that says, I take it now, I receive it now, and I don't need another sign, another symptom to change, another person to pray, because I believe it's mine right now. That's when things begin to shift in your body. Not because God just decided to heal you at that moment, but because that's when you decided to receive. Healing was already provided. The cross already settled it. The blood already paid for it. The word already declared it. But it wasn't yours until you said, I take it now. I receive my healing. And believing that you received is the key that unlocks the power of the finished work of Christ. And there's too many believers out there right now remaining in bondage because they're waiting for the pain to go, waiting for the report to change, waiting to feel something different in their body before they believe it's done. That ain't faith. That's walking by sight. And the word says we walk by faith, not by sight. You don't believe because the body changes. You believe so the body will change. You get that? You don't believe because the body changes. You believe so the body will change. That faith comes first, and then the evidence will follow. There's too many out there right now trying to reverse that order. They're trying to get a feeling so they can believe, but faith doesn't need a feeling. Faith takes the word of God as that final authority, stands firm until what's believed becomes visible. When you believed you received, your language changes. You stop saying, I'm waiting on God to heal me. But you begin to say, I am healed right now in Jesus' name. You confess that everywhere you are. And you stop praying for healing over and over again like a beggar at the door. And you begin thanking God for the healing that's already yours. You stop asking and start praising. Because once you've received, you don't need to keep asking. You just thank Him. You confess the word and you act like it's true because it is. And that's how faith behaves. It acts as if the word is true, no matter what the senses say, what the flesh says. Faith is not based on what you feel. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to stop right there. That's enough to eat on for a while. Has anybody got any questions? Did everybody already know that? And if you already know it, have you been putting it in practice? That's a yes or a no. And that's just a portion of what I've got for you tomorrow. That's just a little small portion of it. Amen. Well, it's good. It's good. I'll tell you, I'm surprised. Now, I got some of that from other people too, more than one. But I'll tell you
thanks,
why.
Michael. Looking forward to hearing the whole thing.
It's gonna, if you've got problems and you need some help, it'll help you. I guarantee. How many of you know that the healing part comes from inside of you rather than from the throne of God? It comes through through you from up there, but you know, it's already here. The Holy Spirit's right here. From the inside out is where it comes from. Praise God, glory to God. Man, when I started seeing that, I started jumping up and down and screaming. I did. I said, looky here, glory to God, I can hear. My sinuses are dried up, glory to God. I ain't got no money problems anymore. Praise God. How many of you got money problems? Don't let me see no hand fly up. You ain't got no money problems. Glory be to God. Oh, yeah, it just got me excited today, Patrick. It did. It got me excited. I was hollering out up here. They would come up here and see what was wrong. I said, come on in, join in, brother. We fixing to get some things done. And we did. We prayed. All right, anybody else? I'm through. I'll let y'all listen to it tomorrow. Okay. You just got to go take care of Fred. All right. Anybody else got anything they want to talk about? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I had an experience Saturday. I had laid down for a nap. I wasn't feeling the greatest at the time. And I think I was dreaming other things or whatever, but like I dreamt that this is all I remember was is and it was and it seemed like I was looking at myself, that I was observing in this. Anyway, I had my hands up and I was praying in tongues, and like as soon as like this picture came into my mind, my dream or whatever, and I was praying in tongues, that I just like I could just feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit all over me. It was so strong, and I woke up feeling it. And I just wanted to share that because I never had anything like that happen to me before. I never felt the anointing of God that strong before. I mean, one time I did when I was singing a song, I don't know. It might have been just as strong as that time. It might have been similar. But this was just like, I mean, it's just, I don't know how to describe it. I just felt the Holy Spirit very strong. And I woke up and I was like half out of it. And I thought about it for a minute and went right back to sleep. But the Lord brought it to my mind again. And I'm just like thinking, okay, Lord, why did you do this? You know? So I'm still kind of pondering that and wanting to know why he did that. Anyway, it is like pretty cool. So Lord, I just pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that you give us an experience of your anointing and the power of your spirit in us, Lord. What made me share it was, Michael saying about we have the power, the spirit of God in us, that power of healing in us, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and it just made me think of Romans 8, where it says, if this, how's that go? If the spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit will give life to your mortal body, something to that effect. And I always look at that as being healing. I always think how Michael often shares with us about, praying in the spirit. What is it? Ups your immunity or whatever, and that kind of thing. But is really a powerful experience. I mean, I just like it woke me up. That's how strong it felt on me, And it was like maybe, I don't know, 20 seconds or whatever. I don't know that I've that like from the dream until I woke up, and after I woke up, when I woke up, it was already starting to dissipate, but I could still feel it. And it was like, wow. Anyway, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Lord God, thank you, Jesus. All right, next. Yeah, Patrick. Yeah, go ahead, Patrick. I don't know if y'all can hear me or not.
Sorry about that. I thought I unmuted, but I'm here now. Since Missy mentioned that dream, I had one the other day, and it was this kind of the same impact that it woke me up as a result of it. And so I mean, I'll just share it, but This was in the midstream. In other words, this was in context of a longer dream, and I don't really remember exactly the parts that led up to this. I do what happened is that I was in a car, and I was in it was nighttime, and I was in a string of traffic on a road, and there was the cars were blocked up in front of me, and the same behind me. And I know that there was an urgency, like it was like we were, trying to get out of a place. And that's kind of where I'm picking up on this dream. And so it was, I don't know if we were trying to escape or if it was just something we were trying to, leave. But it was a need to, like get out of town, and I was sitting there in this traffic. With no way to go, and I looked off to my right, and there was a street that went off. It was like this was in an intersection. So I took off to my right and drove, maybe 50 feet, and then turned left to go parallel with the road that I was on. And as I started down this road, all of a sudden, I felt my car being pushed to the left. It was just it struck me at the time because I realized that this was something that was not natural, because it was just like it was just pushing me, my whole car to the left. And as I was going to the left, and there was no way I could, steer or put on the brake or do anything, it was just sliding me to the left. And as I looked to the left, there was a ditch, running along the road on the side. And I knew that if it kept pushing me into that, I was going to wind up in the ditch. And I was getting fearful and frantic, and what am I going to do? And it finally just kept pushing and kept pushing and pushed me right into the ditch and turned the rear end of my car sideways so that I was perpendicular to the road, but my back end of my car was sitting on the other side of that ditch, and my wheels were just dangling in midair. And whether this makes any difference or anything, I realized that I was driving a Mustang. It looked like an old Mustang in the 60s or 70s or something like that. But anyway, I remember in the dream, I was just like, I guess I was fearful and looking at my predicament and thinking, what am I going to do? And I got out of the car. And at that time that I was thinking that, all of a sudden, there was an anger that rose up within me. It was just like it just boiled out of me, and it's like the anger overwhelmed the fear. I was kind of in that mode, like, oh, what am I going to do now? I've got here I am stranded in my car, hanging over the ditch. There's no way I'm going to be able to drive it. I was starting to go through the woe is me thing, when this anger started rising up in me, and it exploded when I got mad and I turned around the car, and I probably ought to read this because I'm I'm just going from memory, but I turned around at that car and I yelled at her. I said, "Get back on that road now." And it was all from an anger that came out of me. And then I turned my head and I, started looking down and was getting ready to go back into, what in the world am I going to do? I'm out here in the middle of, and I started hearing the rustling and I turned back and looked at my car and it pushed. It was like moving by itself across that ditch and back up onto that road and sitting there. And I have to say that at the time I was watching it, I was stunned because I was watching just the same, I guess, power or what out of control power, movement that pushed my car off was that same power was now pushing my car back up onto the road. And that's when I woke up. And then the scripture came to my mind as I was, pondering that, thinking, what that's very wild. Matthew 11:12, it says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and men of violence take it by force. And so I just was meditating on that and realizing, there's got to be a holy movement from within to knock down the doors of any kind of resistance against the work of God in our lives and push it out of the way in Jesus' name. And I could just see it had to be a forceful, command, a forceful, angry, I'm not taking this type of thing. And so anyway, that was kind of where it was at. I thought I'd just let it, share that. Kind of had to get up and write it down, though. It surprised me in the dream. I have to say, it surprised me. Even though I told that car to get out of there, I guess I really didn't believe it was going to happen. It surprised me when that car started moving back up on the road, So anyway, that's all I have.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Missy, go ahead.
Pat, you want to know some thoughts I had about that, about your dream?
Absolutely.
Okay. What color was the car, did you say?
I didn't say, I don't remember what color it was because it was dark,
Okay.
but I do remember it was a Mustang for
Okay.
whatever reason.
Well, this is what was coming to my mind is going to the left is not good. And your car being, because the goats are on the left and the sheep are on the right. And your car being a Mustang represents flesh, your flesh. Because that's David says, about that represents your fleshly works, especially like in the Old Testament and stuff like that. But anyway, and it's kind of funny because Debbie put something on the blog today, but it makes me think of you taking authority over your flesh and commanding it to get back on the road, staying on the road, staying on the narrow way, buffeting your body and bringing it into bondage, lest by any means, after having preached to others, you should be rejected or something to that effect. I just see it as taking authority over your flesh is what I see there in that whole thing. So, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Well,
Go for it.
a Mustang is a wild beast. It's a wild horse. I think you're right on. Thank you, Missy. Anybody else got some more they want to add to it? I think you're back on the narrow road, aren't you, Pat? Amen, brother. Amen. Me too. All right, anyone else? How many of you have been noticing in the news that the left has been cursing Donald Trump, trying to make him die? They've done a lot of that here. Well, yeah, they've spoken it many times. In the news, even. One in particular was Maxine Mouth Waters. She was speaking that garbage. Yeah. Somebody raised their hand a while ago. Who was that, Joe? Was that you, Joe?
Yeah, interest me. I would just maybe little add a little bit, but not much. He says in the beginning it was darkness. I was because he was working in the flesh, drifting, or everything was flesh. But when he decides that anger, it means the decision is from the left to the right. And I was back on the road. So it's just little add what Missy says. That's a very good. Did you ever, did the Lord gave you a scripture for that, Pat?
Just that scripture that I mentioned in Matthew 11:12 about men of violence take the kingdom by force. And it seemed like, that was I was struck in the dream. I was struck by the I guess it was the anger that was boiling up inside, because it's one of those things that as it's happening, you're looking at it and you're thinking, whoa, what's this? You're almost separated from it, and it's like I just remember the transition of going from a woe is me, what am I going to do mentality to an angry, I'm not taking this car, get back onto that road type of thing. It just hit me as something, the spirit has to rise up in me, and in order to overcome, even as Jesus overcame. It's like the battles, I guess, the opposition and the battles that we go through in everyday life. It just seems like it's really there to help us be released from that which binds us from within, or limits us from within. And that's just, I guess that's just, what I was seeing from it, is that, our victory is not going to come when circumstances change, or when, the battles outside change. It's going to change when it changes in us. It rises up and changes within us. I hate to, continue talking, but the thing that came to my mind, I think I'm told it, I was studying about some of the testimonies that Curry Blake had. One of them was the experience where his daughter, I think 6 or 7 year old daughter, fell out of a second story window down onto the concrete patio and smashed her face in, and she's basically dead. The fall killed her, and he picked her up and brought her into the house and set her on the against the wall in the kitchen and started commanding, "You will live and not die. You will live and not die." And I think I told this story before, but he repeated that for 20, at least 20 minutes, and kept just, that's all he said, "You will live and not die." And his wife and his daughter's other daughter, I believe, heard the racket and came down from the stairs and saw him with his daughter leaning against the wall, bloodied and a bloodied mess. And of course, they went into panic mode and bedlam and everything and started screaming and whatever. And Curry turned around and he said, "Shut up. If you can't believe, leave." And it changed their whole spirit, and they started praying, and they all started praying, "You will live and not die. You will live and not die." And of course, 15 or 20 minutes later, she popped into consciousness and asked for something to eat, etc. Michael, or I could probably dig that story up and read the whole thing for you. But the point being is, he demonstrated in that time, "No, I'm not taking that. That's not the way this is going to end. This is the way it's going to end, and I'm going to fight until it happens, till I see it." And it really, in a way, it just kind of hit me, because it's like, I'm not taking that for an answer. That's not the answer I'm getting. This is the answer I'm going to get. And he forcefully didn't stop until he got what he wanted. And I just feel like that's a spirit that needs to rise up in me. And I'm speaking to myself here. There's got to be that overcoming within me that rises up. And so, and I quite frankly, I confess the opposite as fear or intimidation or whatever it would be, that it is in there, and confess it as sin and cast it out and bind it. And trust God for his cleansing, according to his word. So anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to rattle on there.
Oh, that's fine. I don't think you were bothering me at what that is. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. All right, anyone else? Y'all want to hear a good song? I ain't never heard it all the way through, so you'll have to forgive me if you don't like it. Because that's what the Word of God says. So I don't even know right now. But it started out real good. So we'll just see what happens.
of your flesh, spotless and pure, clothed in righteousness, washed in the word. Our lamps burn, we're waiting and ready for your return. We are daring like Deborah, devoted like Ruth, waging worship in spirit and truth.
Yeah, I kind of liked it. End time warrior bride, isn't that what we
Good
are?
song.
Amen. I was hoping it would be like a song kind of like that. It was good. Miss you asleep. Okay, has anybody got anything they want to share? Yeah, I thought it was too, Jesse. That's us. The end time bride. Fighting the battles. How many of you feel like you've been in a battle? I feel like I've been in a war sometimes. Yeah. All right. Anybody else want to share something? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
You know, during the song there, she sung about keeping covenant. And, you know, God puts something in your mind. He puts something in your heart. And you know, the other one keeps coming back to try to put something in your mind that you don't want there. And you're fighting that battle. And it's from the least to the greatest of them, all shall know him. And you know, that's those verses in Hebrews chapter 8, and maybe I think it's chapter 10. And I was just thinking that, you know, because, you know, I saw the Israeli writing in the background on some of it, and I was going, man, that's the book of Hebrews there. And I was just thinking, you know, you gotta, man, it's a battle, you know. I can see now why it has to be a helmet of salvation and a breastplate, covering your righteousness garment with a breastplate. You need that breastplate of righteousness on that garment. That's white. The snow white luminous garment has to have its battle breastplate polished and ready to go. And of course she's carrying the sword there, you know. And you know, it just makes you think, you know, who's my father? You know, like what's going on here? You know, why am I making this battle and battle over the same thing sometimes, you know? And you know, it just hit, you know, it just hit with that it's you know, you don't think about this when you have to go for a healing or something too, you know, that you wanna just say no, you know? Yeah, so praise and glory to God for all things. Thank you, Father, for being our Father. Thank you, Father, that we're in the family. Thank you, Father, that you give us and we live in your strength. Thank you, Father. You know, oh, Father, rise up within me, rise up within us, Father. We are one body, we are one spirit, one hope of the hope of your calling. One Lord we have with us, and that's your Son, Jesus Christ. One faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of us all, who is over all, in all, and through all. Praise the Father God. Praise his name. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Holy Spirit. We have this presence within us. Has to be with us always. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me of this through that song. Oh yes, Lord. We need your shields, your armor of God. All glory and honor unto you for it.
Amen. Lord, make us all mighty warriors for you in this time ahead. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Lord, place it in our hearts to understand that it's you that's with us. The enemy has no problem. The enemy has no way of getting through this shield unless we let him. And Father, I thank you for your word. it tells us that we are shielded by you. Psalm 91 tells us that, and I thank you, Father, for that. We don't have to worry about it. The enemy cannot penetrate God's shield unless we let him. And Father, I thank you that we are vigilant in our attacks against the enemy every day, every hour, every minute that we need to. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the things that I pray for this day are completely already done in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. Ooh, my, 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 my. I feel a power in this room that is unlike any other power. I'm telling you, there's this whole, you're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people full of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Lord God Almighty who's sitting up at the right hand of the Father with the Holy Spirit working in us like you, Jesus. And all we have to do is put on that armor of God and go to work. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I like that. Josie just reminded me of that thing that she's got on her deal there. Will save your children. Who, let's see, for I will fight those who fight you, and I will save your children. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for bringing out of all of this human trafficking garbage, all of the children and all of the people that have been captured in that, and exposing the people that were involved. And I thank you, Father, for shutting it down completely. And I thank you, Father, for taking those kids and wiping their memories clean of any atrocious activity that went against them in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that they are completely healed, delivered, and set free, every one of them. And when they find mom and daddy, if they're good parents, Lord, that they would be just so happy again. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you for setting the people, the kids free, Father. Glory be to God. Setting all the kids free. I forget how many it was, how many thousands and thousands they've set free already. Thank you, Lord, for getting them set free. That's not counting what the angels have done. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. That's right, to all his children. Thank you, Jesus. I was specifically remembering about the trafficked kids that have been captured for atrocious things. I'm not even going to go there. They do a lot of atrocious things to them. And Lord, we thank you for, I know you got them all up there with you that have died through this. And I thank you, Lord, you've already healed them, delivered them, and set them all free. Glory be to God. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share? I was looking at something else. If you raise your hand, just go ahead and start talking. Amen. What you got on your mind there, Ben?
It wasn't really brought up in conversation here, but I've been reading Absolute Surrender slowly. And nothing that's super revelation, but something that I squared off here. It's sort of like a prayer that Andrew sort of put. Father, let the Holy Spirit have full dominion over me, in my home, in my temper, in every word of my tongue, in every thought of my heart, and every feeling toward my fellow men. Let the Holy Spirit have entire possession. So I've been wanting to press in more, but it's something that I can't necessarily force. It's something that I gotta let go of instead. And then later on in the book, I think I recall Andrew saying something like, we hold on to self, and God can't work in to us if we're still holding on to something like that. But if we're still holding on to self, God can't work into us what he wants for us. Something along the lines of that. I haven't read through the whole thing yet again, but I'm sure I'll come up. It'll come up. Yeah, I was gonna share it on the group chat while I was kind of seeing if it was gonna come up tonight, but that's what I've been kind of thinking about, just sort of with what's going to be coming and what's gonna happen, what are we gonna be doing, and I shouldn't necessarily be focused too much on what I should be doing then, but focusing on the Christ that I have in me now and what I can do right now with it. Because I'm sure it'll just come to me when that time comes.
Absolutely. Yes, it will. Holy Spirit lives in you. He'll tell you. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, go ahead, man.
It's been just a lot of more spiritual warfare than anything. I'll confess, I don't necessarily talk about the Lord a lot with people. Not a lot of people, I don't really know how to bring it up sometimes. And at work, well, I'm getting the new job, so who knows what'll happen there. But with the people that I was working with, I already told them the amount that I think was comfortable, or the amount that I think that they could handle, or if anything at all. So I felt like I was a little stagnant there, but it's been about spiritual warfare a lot, just praying a lot, coming against the things that we can't necessarily see, but that I know is there, like the things that I can, like the spirits that you can discern in people. It's kind of sad when you see non-saved people that have these spirits of addiction, these spirits of all this suppression, and definitely a lot of rejection out there. And it's just so very sad. We have a an well, an ex-coworker at my ex-job, and he's always going through a rough patch, and it just seems he's always his life is a sitcom, I say. His life is a sitcom. There's always a story every day. And yeah, I feel for him. And I told him, like, you just gotta call out to Jesus. He even said, like, I need saving. And I said, well, he can save you. You just gotta believe it. And I tried to do as best as I can with him, but he quickly changed the subject after I said that. And so I didn't really know where to go from there. So, if actually we could raise up Dale, his name's Dale Clackett. Lord, I've asked about Dale many times, and I've asked you many times to for an opportunity to bring you up. And that little conversation was anything, Father, then let it be so. I don't think any word of God is void of power. No word of God is void of power. And Lord Father God, I just pray that Dale is set free from this addiction. I pray that he is set free from all these oppressive demons that hold him back, not just from doing his work properly, but just being able to live properly, Father, and seeing that you set him free, Father, from himself, from addiction, from all the curses. Lord Father God, there are so many things that I saw in him that I just I can't even name them off anymore, Father. I just pray that you set him free and that he sees that it's from you. And Lord, Father God, I thank you for this and praise you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Well. Okay. Anybody got a question? Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
I was reading in Ezekiel 36 today. I started reading that chapter. I don't know if you're like me, but I used to be able to sit down and read, go just read, 10 or 15 or 20 chapters and just go right on through and, start from one chapter and go right on through a story. And I think there's great benefit in that in order to kind of give you an overview a lot of times to see maybe the bigger picture of what's going on. But now I've noticed, I have a hard time making it through the verses because I start in a chapter and I'm say, all right, I'm going to read this chapter here this morning. And I get about two verses and I'm already stopped and thinking and writing things down and whatnot. I just, sometimes that's a hassle because I just, I get stopped before I can really, I think, look at the whole point. But that chapter in 36, chapter 36 is basically a call out. God is prophesying that, he's basically his people have gone out into the world representing his name, carrying his name, and they have basically neutralized his name in the face, of the nations. And of course, God scattered his people there out. And put them in bondage and various different things and kind of scattered them out of the land of Israel. And then at the end of that chapter, the middle of that chapter is the presentation of the new covenant relationship that he's going to bring into place. And basically says that it's not because of you that I am going to do these things, but because of my great name that you have profaned in the midst of the nations. And then, of course, you go all the way through it and it explains, what God is going to do really, despite what, his children have done, the nation of Israel has done to represent and defame his name in the midst of the nations. But God is going to have respect unto his name and raise that again, and he's going to come in and because the nations have mocked and ridiculed and killed his people, and they have become a shame in the midst of the nations. God is going to put an end to that, and he's going to raise up his name in the midst of Israel and make his name great among the nations and bless Israel despite what they have done. And of course, at the end of that chapter, he says, "Yet I will be inquired of to make this happen." So he puts it back upon, the children of Israel to finally awaken and recognize God's promise to them, and then plead for God to make it happen. But the story, obviously, an Old Testament, Old Testament story about Israel, the type of that story can be transferred right over into the New Covenant, and you see the exact same pattern which has happened in the church from the time of Christ, and the deterioration of the principles, the truths of God, and then the scattering of the church throughout the world, and each taking a denomination or a different bent or a different spirit or whatever out into the world, and then it has grown, and for the most part, the church in the world today has become a point of ridicule and mockery, and I'm going to say a shame, in the nations, so to speak. And we in modern day Christianity, there's a tendency to think, well, it's the world out there is against us, and it's to be expected, and it is to be expected. But the scattering and the division and the different points of view and perspectives that are scattered out across the Christian landscape around the world have dissipated, that they have brought into, I'm going to say, ill repute the name of Christ throughout the world. And in this last day and age, so the same thing has happened in Christianity. That is the same type and picture that happened in Israel through the that chapter in 36 in Ezekiel. But the thing that I was seeing today that was kind of hitting me, and that is more or less on the personal level, that thing, that whole type and that picture happening on the on my personal level, meaning how has my example of Christ, has my representation of Jesus, has it caused the those around me to doubt, to not trust, to mock, or has my life been an example of the reality of an unlimited, all-powerful God in operation in my life. And I'm going to say that looking at myself, and I know we're not supposed to, look at ourselves in the mirror. We're supposed to look at what we have been birthed into, who we have become, who God raised up. But I look at the parts, let's just say the parts of my life. And I can look and I can see the positives and I can see the negatives. I can see the failures and I can see the successes. And but just the realization that, even though I, like everybody else, we all start with the birth and learn to walk, and then we learn to run, and we mature as we, the Lord gives us more and more meat and directions to walk in, and sets us free step by step, etc. And obviously, it's a battle for each and every one of us. We were baptized into Christ and shot directly into the wilderness, and that wilderness battle has, exposed our weaknesses and our failures, and we've learned a lot and that whole process. But through that process, we have been observed. And how have we, and I speak this to myself, how have I been observed? As a failure? As a learner, as a follower, as a success, how do others look at me and judge my life? And I have to say that if we follow the pattern of that book of chapter 36, that our life, my life for the most part, I can say that I've experienced, many successes and this and that, and learned many things. But has my life been a demonstration, or is it a demonstration to the power of a unlimited God unleashed in my life? And I have to say that chance, in my eyes, I fall short of that in many ways. And I find that there is hope in this chapter when you see, even when you start at the very first verse in that chapter, and it says, "Son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel, and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord." And God isn't even speaking to the children of Israel or the nation of Israel. He's speaking to the mountains. And in my mind, those mountains represent the victories and the authorities and the strengths and that rock of God's word that has been established in that nation as a mountain that can't be removed. It's there. It's setting. It's a strong, stable position of the word of God as in that nation. If you even even in the world, the children of Israel are always referred to as the chosen people of God and various different things like that. So there is a stability, a mountain of some things that God has put to in place there. And he's not even talking to prophesying to the people that took his name into the nations and profaned it before, profaned his truth. He's speaking to the actual truth that he has established in that nation. And so, I'm in the process of studying and reading and meditating in this thing, but the foundations that I am starting to see now is that this thing translates not only to Israel, but translates to the church and even translates to us as on the personal level, that God is going to do something. Well, I don't know that I would even say that. He's already done it, but he is going to perform the same thing within our lives on a personal level. And because he has respect and the need that his name should be raised as the standard, the proper standard, the proper revelation of who God is. It is because he needs that to be represented to the world in a true form, which is going to require, well, I'm not even going to say that. I'm just going to say that this on the personal level with me I'm seeing that, well, I'm losing my train of thought right now. So I'm just going to end it saying basically that this is on the personal level is hitting me that, I need to have God do something within me more than what I have experienced up to this point. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that I can't look to those on the outside looking at me and say, that they might be wrong, or people looking at us that they might be judging us incorrectly, that there has to be something in us, in me, that changes to reflect the reality of the God that we know exists, the true God that empowers and is able to overcome in us and give us the grace to overcome in all these battles, in all these struggles, inner and outer. And that, we can't blame what is outside of us that gets reflected back to us. I have to look into myself and expect God to change my example to the world, my example to the outside. That's, I believe, is what has to change in order to affect change outside of me. So I'm starting to ramble now, but no, I don't know if you're getting the point of what I'm saying, but so anyway, this chapter 36 has always hit me and always I've always been attracted and focused on these scriptures and the presentation of the new covenant and the whole thing, and so it's just kind of hitting me as I'm going back through it and meditating on it. But anyway, I'll quit talking, start to ramble now.
God. Amen. All right. Got 20 minutes left. I wonder what it would be like. I had a dream years ago before I came out here that there were a few of us, and out in front of us was nothing but a desert, just sand desert all around us. And in front of me was a barbed wire fence. And I was on the other side of the fence in the desert side. And back here were some people that I assume was people that I knew. Could have been family, I don't know. I didn't really see them. I just knew they were there. And I was just walking out into that great expanse of a desert. I mean, it was desert. All you could see was desert in front of you. Behind you was everything else, was, normal stuff. And at that time, I thought it was the Lord was showing me that we'd be going into the tribulation here real quick. But what it was a different interpretation that I was fixing to go through tribulation. And that was when I came out here. That was right before I came out here. And boy, howdy. Ooh. You always think about tribulation as something that you could see all the time, and but it's a fight in the flesh. Warring with the flesh, warring with the world, warring with, the things that you were used to before that you didn't war against. But now that the Lord has showed us differently, that's our war, is the wars against our flesh and the world around us, so that we could be a help to the people that are coming into the kingdom here shortly. And those that are coming out of apostate religion that have glorified the flesh. And you say, well, how's that? Well, prosperity message is a good one. False revival system is another, or I should say, bad one. And so we'll be able to, hopefully, as the Lord perfects us more and more every day, just like Ben was talking about in that book he's reading of Andrew Murray's, dying to self is essential in that walk. That's the bride that has already died to self. The man child has died to self. And it's incumbent upon us to press in these days ahead to be able to listen and to discern the Lord's voice, even when you're just out walking. Lord, what do you want me to do? Or wherever you are, Lord, go with me today. Be with me today, Lord. Help me to do the things that you want me to do, not what I want to do. I believe we're coming into that very, very quickly. I think we're fixing to see an influx of of anointing, hopefully. I believe that's going to happen here shortly. How many of you know that it's the Lord that always does these things in us? All we have to do is just have the faith, believe that He's doing it. Thank you, Lord, for making us the bride, making us the man child, making us everything that you want us to be, Lord. So that we'll be a great help to the people coming and to you. Go ahead, Ben. You got something to say. I can tell.
I found that part.
Let's hear it.
The first lesson is this. You may be a very earnest, godly, devoted believer in whom the power of the flesh is yet very strong. That is a very solemn truth. Peter, before he denied Christ, had cast out devils and had healed the sick, and yet the flesh had power and the flesh had room in him. Oh, beloved, we have to realize that it is just because there is so much of that self-life in us that the power of God cannot work in us as mightily as God is willing that it should work. Do you realize that the great God is longing to double his blessing, to give tenfold blessing through us? But there is something hindering him, and that something is a proof of nothing but the self-life. We talk about the pride of Peter and the impetuosity of Peter and the self-confidence of Peter, it all rooted in that one word, self. Christ had said, deny self, and Peter had never understood and never obeyed, and every failing came out of that. So he was sort of following Christ in his own self, maybe even for selfish reasons, until he repented of that. And that's repentance, it's denial of self. It's not just saying words.
Yeah, Peter was a prime example of someone who had to die to the flesh. Took him a little bit. Had to take some whackings, but he got through it. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Blessings, everyone. I had a short dream earlier today, this morning. It was about me and several people were looking upon this very well-pumped, strong, muscly man, and he was dying, and they were all, in wonder and stuff. And I could see that you could see every muscle on this man, but it was dying. You could see that the flesh was dying. There was black, there was a little bit of red, there was white, where the body was just slowly deteriorating and dying. And he was just struggling to stay alive, but his right eye was closed. And when I looked at him, his left eye was just slowly closing. And then I guess it closed and he fully died. So, and it just reminded me of Luke 11, 21 through, I think, 23, where it talks about the strong man, once his armor's taken away from him, in Christ. We can go in and plunder the devil once the flesh is completely dead. I don't know what the meaning of that dream was, but I know this flesh man, he was all in all his power, he was dying and almost dead. I mean, or he did die.
Well, rejoice. Sounds like you're dying to the flesh, girl. Praise God.
Amen.
Kill that old man. Amen. The muscles was falling off, wasn't it?
Yeah. No more life led to it.
All right. Anybody else? Good dream, sir. Who is that? Just come in here. Lord, we thank you for healing Fred, getting his eyes back to him. Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else got something they want to share? What would y'all like to talk about Thursday night? Let's just set something right now. We got a few minutes. We can talk about it. Let's talk about baby back ribs and how to cook them. No, maybe not that. Okay, go ahead, Pat.
I was just thinking about what Ben was talking about Peter and the examples that he was giving about Peter, but all of that changed on the day of Pentecost. And receiving the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus told him about. I just remember the, what was it, the night before or a few nights before or whatever, they were up in an upper room. I don't know where it was at. And the scripture says they were up in this upper room for fear of the Jews. And then I believe that's when Jesus, if I'm getting my story correct here, is when Jesus walked through the wall and appeared in their midst. And that was the time where I'm thinking about it is when Jesus breathed on the disciples there and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And the interesting thing about that I picked up on was it's interesting that Thomas wasn't there to receive the Holy Spirit when Jesus breathed on them and told them to receive the Holy Spirit. And the result of that, the fact that Thomas wasn't there, there was an automatic, when the disciples told Thomas that, Jesus came to see him and he couldn't believe. He said, "Unless I am able to put my hands in his side and feel the scars in his hands, I will not believe." And he was not there at that time to receive the Holy Spirit. And then when he did show, or Jesus did show up later, he said, "Thomas, come and see and feel and be not unbelieving any longer." And then it was a few days later when the baptism of the Holy Spirit was given, and that's when it all changed, the power of the Holy Spirit. So I don't know if maybe discussion about that. What did the disciples did they receive the Holy Spirit at that time when Jesus came in the room? And then at Pentecost, did they receive the power or did they receive the Holy Spirit? These, I'm not sure, but I do know this, their life and the expression of their life completely changed 180. They were no longer up in the upper room for fear of the Jews. They were, after being threatened, that they were going to be tossed in jail and beaten and whatever, and they were tossed in jail, and God pulled them out of jail, and the next day they were in the temple preaching Christ. There was a radical change after that point in time. So anyway, it's just kind of what I was thinking.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else want something to talk about Thursday night? We're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Or we're just going to talk. Are y'all just going to listen to me? I'm just asking. Go ahead, Judy.
Maybe we can talk about the Bible study that's being broadcast tomorrow and everyone's thoughts
That would be fine.
and what you teach and what David teaches and that kind of thing. We'll see what happens. Or maybe we'll all be in a 10 days of darkness.
Ooh, that'd be cool. Where am I? Brandon's up. How many of you remember that song? When you're smiling, the whole world smiles with y'all. But when you're laughing, when you're crying, you bring on the rain, stop your crying. Be happy again, keep on smiling. Because when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with y'all. I know y'all remember that song. That's an old, oh, Missy. I know you're older than that.
Who sang that? Jimmy somebody?
I did. I just got through singing it. I really don't remember who sang it, Julie. The rendition I did was sung by Dave Gardner. From over at Memphis.
And like Jimmy Durante, but that his name?
Well,
Or
he
am I
could have.
confusing him with somebody else?
Little Jimmy Durante. Ooh, boy, that's a long time ago. He's been dead as long as Missy been alive. All right. He was a comedian, somewhat, if you like that kind of comedy. All right. Well, Lord, we just thank you for an awesome time tonight. We praise you and we glorify you. And Lord, just place it in our hearts to watch the broadcast and listen to the broadcast. And we'll speak about it Thursday night and see what we can come up with. And I praise you for it, Father. Lord, let it be a lesson to all of us as to talking about faith and the Holy Spirit and the things that involve in that faith walk. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Be with everybody. Bless them immensely with getting rid of the flesh in Jesus' name. All right, y'all be blessed. You hear?